Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Bill Wilson on A New Normal Will Require Courage. Now here is Pastor Bill.
By the end of this series, you'll know the words. And I'm still trying to figure them out myself. It's got to be spiritual though, right? Hey, great to see all of you this morning. What a great morning. Would you help me? Half of you are considering it. So this afternoon, Joy and I drive to Central Oregon because we welcome for the first time in 24 months all of our pastors from all over the Oregon region, state of Oregon, for what we call intermission 2021. It's a time of renewal. And so we weren't able to do it last year. And so after 24 months, we're joining together in Central Oregon again. And I'd just like you to pray for us on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. We have pastors, almost 300 pastors from all over the state of Oregon who are part of Portland Christian Center's family, the Oregon Ministry Network. And we'll be just having a great time of enrichment and encouragement. We'll be interviewing a number of our pastors. We'll talk about health in ministry. We'll talk about encouragement, as we prayed earlier for that, because how many of you know pastors are real people? And so a lot of our pastors are really challenged because here's the facts. About 20% of the normal attenders have not yet returned back to Portland or back to their churches. And so that's a challenge. And there's an additional group that they're still considering whether they're going to ever come back. And so volunteerism, all of the things that have made churches strong across Oregon have been challenged. And that takes a toll on a pastor, especially who's poured their life into a local church. So you get that. So whether you're online this morning or in person, I want to just encourage you, if you'd just take a few moments over the next few days to pray for the pastors of the Oregon Ministry Network and pray that God will just refresh us with his presence and encouragement. And so there's that piece that I wanted to share with you. Another great win is this week your pastoral team gathered for a morning of fasting and prayer. So on Monday night, we started the fasting portion and we went through the noon hour and we spent 3 hours. You think my sermons are long. We spent 3 hours in this room praying over each of the team members, praying over the sanctuary, walking. I hadn't been up in the balcony for some time, so I walked up into the balcony and we just prayed over the building. We prayed over you. And I just want to say thanks for our pastoral team who dedicated those hours of prayer and intercession for Portland Christian Center. That takes a lot of love, right? Yeah, that takes a lot of love. So October, I don't know how they come up with these months and emphasis, but October has been known as Pastor Appreciation Month. And I think it's a great declaration of saying, we thank God for all the pastors who've spoken to our lives, and I'll speak about that just briefly in a few moments. But here's a challenge to every one of you. I want to encourage you to sit down and write a note to one of our associate pastors. You don't need to send something to Joy and I. We're just passing through. But for those who are here in the trenches every day serving, it would be great if every pastor received a little note from a number of people. So let's set a goal. I want every pastor, associate pastor, to receive at least 50 or more notes from people in the church, okay? Can you do that? And if you feel compelled to send a little gift card or something like that, that's up to you. But just the note is sufficient, but they would appreciate a $500 gift card to Nordstrom. So just kidding on that part. But you who are watching online, you can do this as well. Just get some thank you cards and send them to the church, okay? Just send them to 5700 Southwest Dosh Road here in Portland, Oregon, and let them know that you appreciate all of them. Will you do that for me? Will you just express your appreciation? They're hardworking people, work extra hours, and especially over the last couple of years, it's been very, very challenging. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm excited of what God's doing at Portland Christian Center. Now, some of you are fairly new, and I'm meeting you for the first time, and I apologize, I don't know everybody's name yet. I had a young man come up and greet me today and say he's been coming for 5 weeks, and he's just found a great fellowship here. Thank you for welcoming those who are new, those who are watching online who are going to make the decision to come next Sunday in person, for those who've been coming here for years, and for those who have great heritage in the church, thank you. God is speaking. God is moving. God is working. God is leading into a new season. And we can have that confidence. We can have that assurance this morning. How many, they say there are two kind of people in the world, those who love Star Trek and those who hate it. So I'm not going to take a poll here. I was never much of a fan, but it fascinates me that William Shatner, played the part of a man in space for decades on television, was celebrated for his feats out in the places where no man had ever gone before. And this week, at the age of 90, he actually went into space for the first time. Did you see that interview? You know, it was interesting as I listened, and he had emotion. He was only in space for 11 minutes. He's made millions of dollars of being pretending to be in space, right? It's like going to church and pretending to be a Christian. But when you actually experience it, it moved him beyond emotion, and all he could say was incredible. And then he talked about the blue line. And as he was describing that, and then into darkness, he said, like that, we were into darkness. The heavens declare the glory of God. At 90 years old, he saw the glory of God in a way he had never dreamed possible. A new beginning for him. He went where he had never gone before. Never gone before. Made a lot of money saying he had gone there, but he hadn't gone there. He'd gone there. Life brings with it new opportunities and new challenges. And I want to talk to you about a season in which we need to reset and recalibrate our lives and revision. It may be a schedule change that you're going through right now. Maybe you have lost a loved one in recent weeks or months, or in the last few months or year, where you're having to readjust yourself to that change. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you now have 4 children in your home than only 3. And you're making adjustments to your schedule. Maybe your beloved, loving child has gotten in a car and gone to college, and now you're walking around, and it is quiet, quiet, quiet. Some of you are praying for that, but it happens from time to time. It is amazing the changes that come, and you're having to reset. Personal choices, and sometimes the choices of others. Some of you have gone through a divorce and you are trying to adjust to the pain of that loss. Some of you have lost perhaps a good friend and you're trying to adjust. Some of you are wrestling with what's next, what is going to happen in my life. And Portland Christian Center is kind of in that same stage. We are in a reset mode, a recalibration. And what I'm going to call in this brand new series we're starting called A New Normal. A New Normal. This has stretched me a little bit, and it's all good. It's all good. Because I believe that in new normals, God does wonderful things. He takes us into new vistas, new dynamics, new opportunities, new experiences that we never dreamed were possible. And you will see that age is not the issue. Age is not the issue. It's our willingness to step in. And I want to just say, get ready, because God is taking the church you're a part of, the church you're sitting in, this building, this facility, which is fantastic, really, in comparison to most of which I visit. We read about maybe some larger facilities, but there's something about this property that is amazing to me. And God is getting you ready for a new normal. We have not seen, listen, come real close. Lean in. You've not seen that all that what God wants to do in your life yet. I want to say it one more time. You have not seen all that God wants to do in your life. and we have not seen with the incredible history of this church all that God wants to do in and through this city and in this church. So today we begin a brand new series called A New Normal. And as I mentioned, we'll figure out what the song actually says when we get through this. Over the course of the next several weeks, I don't want you to miss, I will share in almost every sermon, if you will just allow me, to give you some reflection on what God has already done and some storylines that I think will inspire us to recognize that God's at work in a new normal. I have asked four of our associate pastors that serve here faithfully if they will share with me through this series of messages that take us to the end of the year, into the Christmas season, their perspectives from various key points in the book of Joshua. So we're going to go to the book of Joshua. We were in Judges last Sunday, but we're going to back up into the book of Joshua. And I want to come to the key verse in the whole book, one of the wonderful verses. In fact, it was a prophetic word over Joy and I and my life when we first came here. My dad spoke it over us in the night that we were installed or confirmed as pastors of this church. Verse 9, you're familiar with it, I'm sure. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Everybody say, do not be afraid. A new normal will always bring a little fear, won't it? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. A good word. Pastor Rod, thank you. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, you're watching online this morning, and I just want to say this is a word for you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When we come to the book of Joshua, we actually step into a new section of the Bible in the First Testament, the Old Testament, called the historic books. Not the hysterical books, the historic books. As you read through this section of Scripture, Joshua beginning that new section, it will bring maybe some humor, but it will also make a grown man cry. You'll say, what in the world were they thinking? Why did that happen? It's been preserved for us to help us understand. So the first five books of the Bible, starting with Genesis, are what is known as the books of the Pentateuch. This is the books that Moses had credited for recording under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the history of how the world began and the history of Israel, God's chosen people, to preserve his word and to preserve the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so you pick up Moses in the book of Exodus, a marvelous story about his birth and God's miraculous sparing of his life. And Moses becomes the divine dictator, or dictation, I should say, of the scriptures and the history that we have called the Pentateuch. And we're invited now to move into the historic books. And the first book of known as Joshua, the street I live on, Joshua, is a conversation that we have the invitation to follow the narrative with Joshua himself. Now, remember this. Joshua, at this point in his life, is 80 years old. Let that sink in. 80 years old. And God's given him a new assignment. So for those who are over that age, don't think that God's done with you yet. You are here for a reason. And God can take the wisdom and the vigor and the valor of your life and your heritage to use to bring a new normal to God's people. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, verse 3, verse 1 through 3 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River in the land I am about to give them to the Israelites, verse 3, this famous line, "For I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." Now, there's two characters earlier in Scripture, back in the Pentateuch, who were aides to Moses, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Those two men were sent into the Promised Land many years earlier, and they came back with the other 10 spies, 12 total, and said, "We can do this. Let's go in and take the land that God's given us." But 10 of those spies operated not in faith, but fear. Fear will always keep you out of a new normal. Fear will always keep you out of what God intended for you to experience. And unfortunately, some of us have not stepped into God's full blessing because we have hesitated and be fearful. And this can happen to churches as well. We can be fearful of what can happen. I never forget when I was in Northeast Portland, sitting with a group of 7 believers. They were in their senior years, and with tears rolling down their face of another denominational church, they handed us the keys to the Assemblies of God and said, "You are making a difference here. We lost our way. We lost our way." And they built a beautiful building, historic building. Metro Assembly is there today. Pastor John and Dot Hagebush, who were married in this church and who have been faithful leaders for over a decade there now. That building, I remember those 7 people said, "We have done all we can. We lost our way. Everybody's moved away. Here are the keys to the building. It's yours." Paranoia will destroy you. That's one of those quotables you can put on Facebook today if you're looking for something. It will rob you. Listen, don't let the enemy rob us of what God has for us in the future. And I'm going to give you 4 thoughts here today from this text that I think will help you. The narrative of Joseph takes us on a journey to realize God's promises for a new generation, a now generation. Helps us move from the old paradigm to a new normal. And there are some things of the past that we really like and we don't want to give up, but I just want to say that God has some fresh things that he would like to do for us. A new normal will always start with this word, courage. Everybody say courage. Courage. And I'd like to just focus on courage for a few minutes. Eddie Rockenbacker said, "Courage is doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared." There can be no courage unless you're scared. Are you scared about tomorrow? Man, if I'm reading the newspaper, I don't read that much anymore online. If I watch the news and watch the ABC and the CBS and the Alphabet stations and Fox News and all that, bad, it can make you scared. Sometimes I just turn it off and say, "Lord, come quickly. Come quickly." When I see what's happened to the city of Portland and drive downtown and see what it once was and what it is today, it could make you scared. However, it could also stir within you the desire that God's going to do something new in our midst. Yes. And we get to be a part of it. Yeah. We were just part of a dedication. Last Sunday, we were part of water baptism. We are part of something that God wants to do. It's going to take courage. If you go into business today, you're going to have courage. Hey, if you get married, you're going to have courage. If you have kids, it's going to take courage. If you got up this morning and said, "You know what? I think God wants me to go back to school." It's going to take courage. Serving Jesus takes courage. Coming to church physically takes courage. Leading a church takes courage plus. Being a Christ follower and not just a fan takes courage. Courage. Let's talk about courage. So in the early 1920s, 100 years ago, there was a man by the name of Ernest Shackleton. He was an explorer. He was known as Sir Ernest Shackleton from Great Britain. He ran an ad in the London newspaper. This is what it wrote. "Men wanted to do hazardous journey, Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful. Safe return, doubtful. Ernest Shackleton. What happened next after he ran this small ad in the London paper? Historians will never forget. And I don't want you to forget these lines. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In fact, Joshua is about to take on a new responsibility. Moses has died. God raises up Joshua to lead the children into the land of promise, Canaan land. He'd been there once before, and yet he was still anxious about the moment of moving into a new normal, just like I am every Sunday when I walk through these doors and I come up here and stand before you. There's an anxiousness, and it's a holy anxiousness. It's okay to have a little anxiousness because you know that God's got something he's going to do that you do not see in the natural. He's doing in the supernatural. And you know you're going to be part of it. And Lord, you say, Lord, I hold this loosely. It's up to you. I am going to trust you. And you have the same feeling when you walk out of your house, you walk into this building, or you go to your job, or you face some challenges of today. You need the courage. And so he says it three times. In verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Now you go down to verse 7, he says it a different way. He says, be strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, he says, be strong and courageous and don't be afraid. The word courageous means here tenacity. It means zealousness. Have a zeal for God. Step out and be willing. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, faith is that first step even when you don't see the full staircase. Faith is that first step you take even when you don't see the full staircase. And how many of us have been there in our lives? And Portland Christian Center, collectively, we're there. We're taking one step at a time. We'd all like to know the top of the stairs, what's up there. We'd all like to see their face. We'd all like to be able to say, hey, we're coming after you. We're just taking one step at a time, and we're taking steps of courage in the midst of all this. So here's four things that I just want to share with you this morning in the moments that I have left with regards to courage. Courage calls for respect. Courage calls for respect for what God already has done. Courage calls for a respect for what God's already done. After the death of Moses in verse 3, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. There's a powerful backstory to that line. And I want you to see that courage relies upon and draws from what God has already done in your life and in our lives. The famous leader of Israel has now died. He finished his role as a leader. Disappointing, yes. And if you want to go back into the previous books of Deuteronomy, you can see some of the outcome of unfaithfulness and disbelief and disobedience that will happen to a generation. I don't want to be that generation that misses the promises of God. I'm reminded how vital it is for you, listen, how vital it is for you to really lean into God and ask him to lead you in these days. This is vital. Not a political party, not some kind of social movement. What does God want me to do? Yeah, that's right. That's good. What does God want me to do? How important it is, because the children of Israel got off track. They became complainers rather than encouragers. Moses dies, this wonderful man of God, Joshua, is raised up. And Joshua had stood by Moses faithfully. And now he's been given this responsibility, and he never forgets what he learned from Moses. He never forgets that Moses was a model of leadership. The greatest leader, not Charlton Heston, Moses was the greatest leader that had ever taken place. However, in the wilderness, God performed many miracles, but in the wilderness, he remembered the God of Israel, Joseph, I'm talking about now. respect for your leaders, reverence for those who've gone before us, the pioneers of faith who set the stage for you and I, we must always keep that in our minds. We must never forget the miracles that God has performed for us already. We won't panic if we know that God's led us thus far and he's not going to forsake us now. So as we move forward in courage, always rely upon what God has already done in your life. And let that be a strength to you to know that if God is for me, who can be against me? He's already done that for me. After all, he saved me from my sin. And he will help me get through whatever you're faced with as you take that step of courage. Joy and I have had the privilege of working with 6 lead pastors. We were associate pastors for a number of our years in early ministry. We worked with 6 different, all dynamic in their own way, gifted in their own way, some more gifted than others. We got real close to them. We saw that they were human beings. They weren't perfect, but we worked with 6 wonderful pastors. And we always respected them when we served with them. I will never forget that one day the Lord spoke to me when I was the lead pastor of this church, that on Sunday mornings when I would get up early to pray for you and to pray over the message and pray for the future and the day, pray that God will bring from the north, the south, the east, and the west, bring people in by seeing the sign on the road, pray that people would come into the parking lot and feel love as soon as they walk through the door, and pray that everybody would smile and not frown and want to know, like, who's that person? They would say, hey, welcome. That's what I prayed. The Lord put on my heart to pray for each of the pastors that I served with by name and their spouse. So I had a routine. I started off with Ron Ballou, and then I went to D. Leroy Sanders, and then I came to Jim Swanson, who pastored this church, and I went to George Smith in Olympia, Ron Hasty in Olympia, and then Glenn Cole. That's 6, right? Did I miss somebody? I got them all. And I prayed. I was supposed to pray 3 things. Number 1, I was to pray that I would never speak ill of any of them. Even though I knew some of their mistakes and their weaknesses. But I was to pray for them, but never speak ill of any of them. Okay, number 2, I was to pray every Sunday morning for them and pray that God would bless them in whatever stage of life they were in. Number 3, I was also on occasion to send them a note, an email. And by the way, all of them but 1, 5 of them came and spoke at this place right here, stood right here at this pulpit and spoke. In fact, the first guest pastor I ever had was Jim Swanson, who stood right here, and I'd worked with him for about 3 years at Portland First Assembly, as it was known, Portland Christian Center. Now, I say all of that because I think there's great value in always respecting what God has already done and the people that have spoken into our lives. And Pastor Ray Noah did a fabulous job in elevating this a few years ago when he brought Pastor Jim Swanson back and had him become the pastor emeritus. That was a great win for everybody. For Pastor Jim and Norma, it was a win for the church. It brought some healing to some brokenness over time. And I commend Pastor Ray for doing that because that shares with me the value of dignity and courage to say, let's honor someone who's gone before us. So as we move forward, remember, no one's perfect, but we should always speak well. Some of you have been hurt and injured by leaders in the past. Some of you have had harsh words spoken to you. I perhaps have spoken harsh words to you, and if I have, please forgive me. I never intended to. Please forgive me, Joy. I never meant to be harsh. And did you want to say anything? I didn't think so. But harsh words can hurt people. And I have met more people over the last 15 years who said, you know, I once went to that church or this church, but somebody said something to me and I didn't, you know what I'm talking about. We've all had those encounters, even me. But I want to encourage you to step forward in courage into a new normal and let that go. Let it go. Yeah. Give it to the Lord. Let it go. Don't carry it around. Part of this is so important, which leads me to a second point that I'd like to share with you. Because in verse 5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Courage not only calls for respect, but it calls for a release of something to the Lord. Look at verse 2. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River in the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. Courage, someone said, is like oxygen. You can't really live without it. You have to have courage to step forward. It is a very important, that tenacity of spirit that the Holy Spirit gives us to follow His lead, to step into a new normal, into a new season, to release and let something go. And what I found is when you go into a new normal, it takes courage, and courage always requires that you give something up, whether it's bad feelings or anger or whatever it might be. So here's these almost 2 million, I should say, people on the banks of the river called Jordan. And Jordan isn't that big of a river on a low tide time or a certain season. It's only about 100 feet. But in the winter time and in the flood season, if you read the text, you discover, hey, this is the flood season. It's rushing water like you might find at the Deschutes or the Rapids somewhere. Yeah, it doesn't look very comfortable. But you're releasing the wilderness. You're releasing the anger. You're releasing the bitterness. You're releasing the habit. You're releasing something that was successful in the past, but perhaps isn't all that successful now. I can't forget standing on stage at Keller Auditorium with 27,000 people over the course of time, leading on a Christmas Hark the Herald Angels Sing in my bright blue tuxedo. Who could forget that? You forgot it, but I can't forget. I thought, who in the world picked a bright blue tuxedo for me? I went out there with my mustache and my hair down to my shoulders and singing Hark the Herald Angel. What a great memory. Gotta let it go. I'm not there anymore, thank God. I don't even have a blue tuxedo. I don't want a blue tuxedo. Joy wouldn't let me out of the house with a blue tuxedo. It's a great memory, but I release it because God's shifted. We're no longer at the Keller Auditorium. We're not doing that anymore. God has a different plan. You know what? I'll tell you what. It isn't programs. It's community that are drawing people to church. It's people feeling connected. They've been disconnected for 2 years. They're wanting to be connected. We appreciate all the energy that we put into efforts to reach the community. But to just be a program-driven church isn't going to make it. I'm just telling you straight, okay? Whether you like it or not, I'm going to be gone in a few months and you'll be glad. Just keep praying for me and respect me. That's all I ask. Joshua 3 tells us that the water was dammed up 17 miles when the children of Israel walked across. They released the life of the wilderness. It's kind of like when you graduate from eighth grade and you walk into high school. You're scared. You were big man on campus in eighth grade. Now you're nothing. But then you become a senior. But you got to cross that line. You got to cross that line. And Portland Christian Center, I wrestle with this through the night, last night. I don't know how to say it. But be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Be courageous and release whatever perceptions you may have had of what the perfect church looks like and let God lead us into a new season. Courage steps will always release something. If you want a better marriage, release the bitterness you may have had or the anger you may have had. You want to be better at your job, release your comparisons to what you used to do, and let God take you into a new season of your life. The third thing that I just want to suggest to you is courage will call for a recommitment to trusting God. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. So there it is again, that's the second time. Be careful, listen, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses, respect to the past already, gave you. Do not turn from it to the north, to the right, or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And now look at verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. In other words, be committed to it. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written to it. You're making a recommitment of trusting God as you step into a new normal. When you go into that new job tomorrow, step in it with courage, knowing that you've recommitted yourself and God's leading you. As we move into volunteerism, step into that volunteer role, working with youth or students or adults or being a hostess welcomer at the door or whatever the need may be. Get on board. Be a community leader in your home. Start inviting people, meeting them one-on-one. People are looking for community. Recommit. Lord, I'm going to trust you on this. I don't feel that adequate to do this, but I'm going to trust you. And Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. So now here's my little history part. Because Joy and I have come to this point many times in our lives, but I just speak out of experience of recommitment to trust God. Because even in pastoral leadership, things can be going real smooth and you kind of feel like, I'm pretty good. I know how to do this. Everything's fine. So on July 15th, 1987, that's before some of you were born or some of you went to school or you're old enough now you don't even remember it. But 1987, that's a long time ago, I received a phone call at 9 o'clock at night on a Wednesday night. Now, why 9 o'clock? I don't know. And the words were, where have you been? I thought, well, I've been on vacation. We've been trying to get a hold of you. I said, well, who is this? One of your good friends. Come on. Jack Trigg from Portland. I've known Jack for 10 years now. And he just simply said, the board of our church is looking for a candidate and your name has been submitted. And we'd like to know if you have any interest in interviewing with us in Portland. Now, I didn't say this out loud. But come real close. In my spirit, I said, are you kidding me? No. That's what I said. Why would I want to do that? Joy works at the Christian school as a substitute teacher. We just bought a house 7 months ago and totally remodeled it. Our kids are in Christian school. We live a mile from the church. I'm in a church of 5,000 people as an executive pastor. I have a Sunday school class of 300. Why in the world would I want to leave the sunshine of Sacramento, California and move to Portland, Oregon? I've already lived there once. I've been there, done that. You follow me? Are you with me? And then Jack said, would you pray about it? Have you ever said no? I'm not praying about it. I don't want to hear what God has to say. And I said, Jack, let Joy and I pray about this. And we did. We took about 48 hours, and I called him back, and I said, we'd be happy to meet you. So I'm going to just fast forward this, because over those next few weeks, the church board was very gracious and invited us to come present our ministry. And in August, we were selected. So a very short span of time, we were selected to come by 97%. I've always tried to figure out who those 3% people were that didn't vote for us. If you're here, come up and confess. Let's get it over with. Okay, so here's a problem. You know, we didn't live in a rented property. We lived in a house in a market that was very difficult in California at that time. We just spent all of our money into this house and then remodeled it. And so here's where I had to recommit trusting God, okay? So you invite us to come to be your pastors, and we're excited. Phil, our son, said, I'm not moving to poor land. And so I said, well, we're going. So if you want to have somewhere to live and eat, come on with us. And of course, he met his wife here and all. But we came. But we had this house situation, and Joy and I earnestly, we had a realtor friend come, and some of you know this story, but I just want to re-say it, because this is a very important point. We prayed together, realtor came over to the house, and we agreed. We said, Barbara, would you just thank you for sharing what this is going to cost us to sell. We're losing all of our down payment, the investment that we made in the house. We're basically just getting out for less than we invested and buy the house. When you think of all this stuff, just give us the weekend. And Joy said, you know, I felt like it was a word from the Lord. Joy said, you know, there's been somebody in our Sunday school class that said if we ever find a house like ours in this neighborhood, they'd like to buy it. I said, well, good. Barbara, could we wait till Monday to sign the papers? She said, sure. So with the word from the Lord to Joy, and we just took that comfort that on Sunday we'll just say, hey, we heard you were interested and perhaps we would like to sell. Barbara leaves. A half an hour later, the doorbell rings. It's dark already outside, and I open up the door, and there stands a man. I've never met him before. And he looked up and he said to me, Pastor Bill, I didn't know this was your house. I said, well, it is, yeah. He said, I'm so sorry to disturb you on this Friday night. He said, I'm actually looking for a house for friends that live in Michigan. And I remember this house was for sale about a year ago. And I just wondered, maybe they didn't sell it. Are you interested in selling? Well, now I know. I can't just like go out and say, well, yeah, we're moving to Portland, Oregon. Yeah, I'd love to have you buy the house. Because nobody knew all of this stuff. So I just said, well, Joy, that's interesting. Joy and I were talking about selling tonight. So I'm going to fast forward again because there's a few details you don't need to know. The people who bought the house bought it sight unseen for cash, for the selling price. And God said to me, Bill, if I've called you to do this, just remember, I'll take care of this. You follow me now? Portland Christian Center, you trust God, you recommit yourself to the Lord, and He'll take care of the details. We don't have to be anxious or fearful. And that's one thing I've learned about courage. When you step out in faith, believing, knowing God's leading you, every step you take, He will give you. Courage says, I'm going to stay with this because God's going to show me His hand. I wouldn't have that testimony if I said, are you kidding me? And we're not doing that. I wouldn't have that testimony. I would not have that testimony. And I've got plenty of others, as you, some of you know. Courage respects the past. Courage also releases something to the Lord, and courage recommits to trusting God. And finally, I just say, courage readies itself for new opportunities. Look at verse 9 again. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Renowned pastor, he's got some controversy, but he's a great guy. Andy Stanley said, a single act of courage is a tipping point to changing something. And when we step out, when you and I step out in courage to do what God's led us to do, not just some crazy idea that we came up with and we're going to blame God if it goes bad, God leads us. Ready yourself for great new opportunities, a new normal. When you read through the book of Joshua, all the things that come to my mind is a new normal. This isn't, they've never been this way before. They've never done this way before. I think of Rosa Parks in December of 1955 when I was just a child, how she made a statement and it changed the course. She took a step of courage and changed the course of history in America. And Joshua in verse 10 says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land in the Lord, the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. I don't want to fail in what God's called me to do. I've got all kinds of notes. I've got notes from last sermon too, if you want to hear those again. But I just want to wrap this up by saying, here's what courage is, from my observation. Courage respects what God's already done. Courage releases something to the Lord. Probably fear, anxiety, hesitation, my way or the highway kind of thing. Releasing hurt, distrust, whatever it might be. You release it to the Lord. Recommit to trusting God. Lord, I'm going to trust you to get across the Jordan River. I'm going to trust you to take me into the promised land. Courage readies yourself for new opportunities, knowing that God will help you. So Sir Ernest Shackleton ran this ad in the London paper, and it wasn't very glamorous. In fact, it was kind of scary. And the response was so overwhelming, Shackleton wrote later. He said, "It seemed as though all the men in Great Britain were determined to accompany me to the South Pole. In every person is a desire to do something significant. A few persons," he thought, "maybe one or two." It seemed like everybody in Great Britain wanted to go with Shackleton to the South Pole to explore. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous." I wonder what God's leading you to do courageously this week. Perhaps it's giving your life to Jesus, recommitting yourself and saying, "Lord, I'm going to trust you." I wonder what new normal he has for you, a new pattern, a new season, a new victory, a promised land, a new liberty, a new love, a new joy, a new peace, a new relationship that he wants to make stronger, a marriage that no longer is just kind of average, but now it's excelling. I wonder what God wants us to take a step in when it comes to courage. Father, we thank you this morning for these opening lines of this great book called Joshua. Thanks for preserving it for us. Now, if you've never accepted Christ and you'd like to accept Jesus and make your life turn from dull to dynamic, following God's courageous steps and leading, you can pray this simple prayer. "Dear Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. Take me where you want me to go. Help me to do what you want me to do. And I pray this in your name. I pray you'll forgive me of my sin. Make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen, amen."
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.